So now as we worship this morning, let's turn our attention to today's Bible passage. And before I read it for us, I want to just start off by sharing with you a description of someone. And this isn't a specific person, so as I start reading this, don't be thinking, oh my gosh, why don't you just say my name, Pastor Matt? Why don't you just declare it all for everyone to see? So this is just a general description of a general person. It is not in reference to anyone here or anyone that you know that is not here, all right? But this man attends every service in his church. He goes on mission trips. He tithes 10% of his income, reads his Bible daily, and memorizes scripture. He prays in corporate worship, is orthodox in his theology, and believes in heaven and hell. He never gets drunk, never uses profanity, is a family man, loves his country fervently, votes the right way, and has a stellar reputation in the community. And yet this man is headed for hell. To all gathered here today, I've just described to you a 21st century Pharisee. We often associate Pharisees with being legalists. But in the first century, when the Gospel of Mark was written, Pharisees were the model citizens of this culture. They were the model religious leaders. They would be highly praised by everyone for their upright behavior. So what kept these Pharisees from receiving eternal life with Jesus? What may be keeping many of us who may be model members of this church from receiving eternal life with Jesus? Or to put it another way, how do I know whether I am a legalist or a true Christian? Let's turn our attention to Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 23 to find out. And if you didn't happen to bring a Bible with you this morning, we should have a black Bible. It looks something like this in the chairs in front of you or close to you. And if you happen to grab a small print version and have never been in the Gospel of Mark before, we're going to be on page 842. And if you grab a large print version, we're going to be on page 1001. So once again, we're going to cover Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 23 this morning. Verse 1 says, "Now when the Pharisees gathered to him with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands properly, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and scribes asked him, 'Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?' And he said to them, 'Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, "Honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die." But you say, "If a man tells his father or his mother, 'Whatever you would have gained for me is Corban, that is, given to God,' then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do." And he called the people to him again and said to him, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him." And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart but his stomach and is expelled?" Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. From within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. When attempting to answer this question this morning as we study this passage, the first thing we're going to look for are the marks or the characteristics of a legalist. In this passage, we're going to see three of them. First, we see that legalists love to compare themselves to others. In this story, the Pharisees notice that some of Jesus' disciples eat with hands that are unwashed. And this isn't the Pharisees, this isn't Mark saying, you know, all Pharisees are germophobes. They just can't handle the germs of other people, and so they make sure that everyone else at the table washes their hands. Rather, we see in verses 3 through 4 that it has nothing to do with germs at all. It has to do with ritual cleanliness. In other words, according to Jewish tradition, by not washing their hands, the disciples are then contaminating the food, which they then eat, which makes them unclean, which then causes them to be unable to worship God in the temple or to have contact with other religious leaders. And because the Pharisees always wash their hands and they always maintain strict habits to maintain religious cleanliness, this gives them a chance to look down upon the disciples. This gives them a chance to prop themselves up, which they love to do. And modern-day legalists love to do the same thing. They love to compare how much more they read the Bible than others. They love to compare how much more they attend church than others. They love to compare how many more hours they serve than others. They love to compare how much more they give than others. They love to compare how much better they dress than others. They love to compare themselves to those around them. Secondly, legalists honor God with their lips, but not their lives. Jesus responds to the Pharisees' question by quoting Isaiah 29, verse 13. He says, "This people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." In other words, legalists say all the right things about God, but their hearts are ungodly. Their religion is all words and no show. Legalists are people who sing out loud with their lips, but never sing the words from the heart. Legalists call attention to the sins of others, but never lift a finger to help them bear their burden. Legalists pray for God to change the lives of others, but never pray for God to change their own heart. Legalists say things like praise God and amen and great service on Sunday, but never live any differently Monday through Saturday. They say all the right things with their lips, but never honor God with their lives. Thirdly, we see that legalists are tradition-driven instead of text-driven. Jesus points out in verses 7 through 8 that legalists hold their own traditions higher than the commandments of God, teaching them as doctrines to hold firmly. And then he goes on to illustrate the sin in doing so. He says, whereas the fifth commandment says we're to honor our father and mother, that the Pharisees have used their traditions in order to justify breaking this commandment. You see, in Jewish culture, you were supposed to take care of your parents. You were supposed to take care of your mother and father as they moved into old age. And you were supposed to use your resources to do so, to use your house, to use your animals, to use your food, to use your wages to support them. But the Pharisees instituted a rule that if someone were to dedicate their possessions to God, in the same way that many of us may write a will and say, hey, after I pass away, I want 10% of my income or whatever to go to the church. If someone were to do that, then they never had to give those resources or use those resources in order to support their parents. And so you see what's developing here. The Pharisees could actually benefit from the reward of giving all their possessions to God, while at the same time totally neglecting the care of their parents. They could have the eternal reward while avoiding loving those who had raised them. And Jesus points out, your tradition does not supersede the word of God. God's word tells you to honor your father and mother. It tells you to use your wages and your resources to do so. In other words, Jesus is saying, be text-driven. Let the word of God instruct your life. Don't be tradition-driven. And many of us today are at times tradition-driven more than we are text-driven. We believe every business meeting should use Robert's Rules of Order. We believe every service should have a particular style of music. We believe everyone should dress a certain way. We believe every church should have the same exact programs. We believe that every American holiday should be honored. And we believe that every pulpit should be at least 2 foot wide, no more than three, and made from pure gopher wood. All right, I'm exaggerating a little bit on the last one, but you get the point. None of those things are explicitly written in God's word. And yet you and I often treat them like they are. You and I insist that others treat them like they are. And by doing so, we show evidence of a legalistic heart that on occasion is more tradition-driven than it is driven by the word of God. So those are the marks of a legalist. And now let's turn our attention to the root of a legalist, an unclean heart. Jesus goes on in verses 14 through 23 to explain the error in the Pharisees' theology. The Pharisees were so concerned with outward cleanliness, whether what they ate was clean, whether what they touched was clean, whether who they touched was clean, whether their hands and garments were clean. They thought these things in total determined whether a person was religiously clean and able to be in God's presence, or whether a person was religiously unclean and therefore unable to be in God's presence. But Jesus points out in verses 15 through 18 what would have been an absolute radical teaching to any first century Jew. That what goes into a person, in other words, what they eat, does not make them unclean. Rather, it's what comes out of a person that makes them unclean. It's not the foods that one eats or the things a person touches that makes them unclean. It's what comes out of the person's mouth and actions that make them unclean. In other words, the issue is not unclean outward appearances, but an unclean inner heart. As I've shared with many, during the time that I was a youth pastor, I rented a house with one of the other guys who helped out with our youth group, and we were always having youth over to play games and to watch movies. We had our Bible study there each and every week, and it was just a great way for us to get to love and to care the students, to get to know them, to bring in new students into our ministry. And on one particular afternoon, I'm going to try my best not to reveal this person's actual name, so we're just going to call him Ted, and I hope I will say Ted throughout the rest of the story. But one afternoon, Ted had to use the restroom. And so Ted used our one bathroom that we have in our house. And Ted took a massive dump in this restroom. All right? And it was so massive that he clogged the toilet. But Ted thought to himself, you know what? I absolutely do not want to fix this situation. I don't want to spend the time unclogging the toilet. And so what he did anyways, in place of that, was he just shut the lid of the toilet, grabbed our potpourri spray that we had in there, and probably proceeded to use at least a fourth of the can, spraying the entire room. And his master plan was to then pack up all of his books in his backpack, say goodbye to everyone, and leave before anyone knew what he had done. You see, Ted was concerned about cleaning the outside of the room. He was concerned about covering up the smell and the odor. He never wanted to deal with the poop that was inside. And that's the behavior of a legalist. A legalist just wants to clean the outside, to make the outside look good, to cover up what's truly inside, but never deal with the poop that is inside, to never deal with the poop in their hearts. And Jesus says it's not the outside that you should be worried about. Because he goes on in verses 21 through 22 to list the things that come out of an unclean heart. He says evil thoughts, sexual immorality, whether that's in marriage or outside marriage, theft and murder, adultery, coveting or greed, wickedness, deceit, sensuality or promiscuity, envy, slandering someone else, pride and foolishness, or the desire to live an unspiritual life. Jesus says that if we exhibit any of these behaviors, we have an unclean heart. And without doing a personal investigation, I could guarantee you that each one of us has shown one of these behaviors this week, if not several. We have all showed up here this morning with an unclean heart. But that doesn't necessarily make us a legalist. Because what makes a legalist is this. It's their attitude. Specifically, it's their denial of an unclean heart. You see, what the Pharisees were guilty of, what kept them from knowing Jesus, what kept them from having eternal life, was that they denied that they had a heart problem. They were basing their righteousness, their goodness, on their own set of man-made traditions. And as they looked around, what they saw was that they washed their hands more than anyone else. They knew more scripture than anyone else. They ate the right foods more than anyone else. They prayed longer prayers than anyone else. In all the right things that a religious person should do, they did them better than anyone else. But all of those righteous acts blinded them to how sinful their hearts were. They were so focused on how well they were keeping their traditions, how much better they were than everyone else, that they missed how evil their thoughts were as they plotted to kill Jesus. They missed their envy and wanting the crowds that Jesus was beginning to accumulate. They missed their deception and always trying to trick Jesus into saying something that would cause them to discredit him. And they missed their pride in their own ability to live a righteous life. And to all of us gathered here today, let us be warned, it is incredibly easy for all of us to fall into the same trap of comparing ourselves to others. Something we probably do more than we are even aware. We tend to look down on others who are more lazy than we are, who live in a poorer section of town than we do, who struggle with addictions more than we do, who have different political opinions than we do, who read the Bible less than we do, who dress differently than we do, who live more promiscuous lives than what we do. And that's just a few examples. But what we often miss in these comparisons is our own sin. Our own sin of slander as we tear down those around us with our words. Our own sin of envy, of sometimes being jealous that while we've had to work hard for things, others have had things just handed to them. And our own sin of pride, of thinking that we are actually better than some people who are around us. You see, we are often so busy comparing ourselves to others that we miss the fact that our hearts are just as unclean as everyone else's. And when we forget that, slowly but surely, the enemy starts to get us to believe that our worth is directly tied to how much better we are than others. That we can't have joy, we can't have peace, we can't feel good about ourselves unless we can look to someone else and say, you know what, I'm better than what they are. And in the end, what we do, whether we realize it or not, is we make our righteousness, our salvation, more about our good works than anything else. We began to feel like we should be saved because we're better than most people. Church, no one wakes up on a given morning and says, you know what, today I'm going to be a legalist. It happens over time. It happens after thousands upon thousands of comparisons between our lives and the lives of those around us. It happens after hundreds of times of seeking to prove our worth by denying what's really unclean in our hearts and instead trying to show those around us what's clean on the outside. To deny the poop that's in our hearts and instead to show off our good works to those around us. So what's the remedy? How do we make our unclean, legalistic hearts clean once again? And we see from this passage that the remedy for a legalist is trust in Jesus. The world says the problem is out there. And the solution is therefore to answer the question, what can I do about it? What can I do to make this world a better place? What can I do to make myself clean? What can I do to make myself a better person? However, Jesus says in this passage, what the rest of the Bible also says, the main problem is not out there. The main problem is within us. The main problem is not that more people need to be Republican or more people need to be Democrats. It's not that we need to redistribute the wealth. It's not social reform or educational reform. It's not baby boomers or millennials. It's not how parents are raising kids these days. It's not a lack of respect for the military or the country. No, the main problem with the world today is sin. And specifically, the main problem with the world today is the sin that is in your heart and the sin that is in my heart. That's what makes us unclean. That's what makes our society unclean. And because that's the case, radical change is needed in my heart and in your heart and in the hearts of this world. In fact, the Bible says that we need new hearts altogether. We can't even fix this. I can't even reach into my heart and make it clean once again. But thankfully, that's exactly what God does for us. Look with me at Ezekiel 36. It says, I being God, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness. And from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Notice who is doing all the action here. It's God. I will sprinkle clean water on you so you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your idols. I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone. I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. It is God who makes us clean. It is God who gives us a new heart. It is God who makes us righteous. It is God who enables us to obey him each and every day. And he accomplishes all of that through Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, in Jesus, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Through faith in Jesus and his death on the cross, we receive a new heart. We receive Christ's righteousness. We receive the Holy Spirit. We receive the ability to obey God. All of these things are given to us by God through Jesus, through the work that he has already finished on the cross. You see, there are basically two approaches to religion, each of which can be summed up in a single word: do or done. The legalist says it's about what I do. It's about the good things that I do to make myself clean, to make myself better than those around me. Whereas the Christian, a follower of Jesus, looks at all the uncleanliness, all the sin in their own heart, and runs to Jesus, trusting in the work he has already done on the cross. Church, if you want to constantly stop comparing yourselves to others, if you want to honor God with your lives and not just with your lips, if you want to let go of your traditions and allow the Bible to be your authority, if you want a clean heart, then the only answer is to trust in Jesus. Trust that when he uttered these words on the cross, it is finished. That he completed all the work that is needed to make our hearts clean. So as we leave here today, let us give up our legalistic hearts. Let us rest in Jesus. Church, the work is already done. It is finished. Let's pray. God, we come before you. And we just ask you to forgive us. Forgive us for the times that we compare ourselves to others. Forgive us for the times that we honor you with our lips, but not with our lives. Father, forgive us for the times that we try to cover up our unclean heart. Forgive us for the times that we try to earn our own salvation through good works. And Father, we thank you for opening up our eyes to that today, for using your word to show us how unclean our heart truly is. But we also thank you that you have shown us today that there is a better way, that you have reminded us of the good news of the gospel, that it's okay to come to you with an unclean heart, because you're a God who gives us a new one. You're a God who makes us clean. You're a God who sent your son Jesus to die on the cross to make us new. So, Father, we pray that we would leave here not clinging to our own righteousness, not clinging to our own works, not clinging to our own traditions, but we would cling to the cross. We would cling to your son Jesus. We would cling to the righteousness that he has given to us. Father, let us leave here not thinking of all the stuff that we need to do to make ourselves look good. Let us leave here believing that all the work has been done to make us clean, to make us new. Let us leave here trusting in Jesus. In his name we pray.